I didn't have any. I don't know, you know, any differences between the way I grew up and the other kids grew up, because we all came from basically the same economic background. And I lived on the west side of Buffalo all my life, in an Italian neighborhood, Italian and Irish, with a few Native Americans running around through. The home life, I don't know. I don't see that I ever lacked for anything except for material things. You know, we always had food. One of the things that I find now, that of being grateful for going to Catholic school, was the fact that the one thing I didn't have was a lot of clothes, so that we had uniforms, and that sort of made it real easy in that respect. And then, of course, after school, everybody dressed the same, in a pair of blue jeans and such. Now, what do you want to know specifically?
You can talk about who you hung out with, and what were like the activities of growing up. I know there were a group of us that always sort of would do things together after school.
Well, we played a lot. That's mostly what we did. We played all the kinds of games the kids play, you know, the hide-and-seek kind of stuff. They were all basically kids that were in the same block. It was the block that we lived in that was opposed to the block down, the next block down, and around the corner on the other side of the block. We didn't think too very much of them. And then there was the kids on our side of the street versus the kids on the other side of the street. So there were those little kind of things. But there wasn't much to do in, you know, at that time, except to any activities you had were all sort of playing kind of things, like playing ball. And as we got older, we got into things like that, because Grover Cleveland was the next block up, so there was lots of ground to play on. And because there was no television, TV didn't.
Right.
TV didn't really break through until, well, I guess probably 1948 is when people started buying television sets, and we probably got ours in about 1950, 51, something like that. So we had to do active things rather than sit and watch television. We listened to the radio a lot. I used to listen to the radio on Sundays. My father and I were real close in my growing up. My father was a non-drinker. And so his forms of activities were movies. He used to go to the movies 3 times a week. He used to go on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoons. And we would go, there were lots of neighborhood shows then, so we would, on Friday and Saturday, go to the neighborhood shows, and on Sunday, we would always go to the downtown, to see a movie downtown. I was always up on what was going on in the movies. My mother, when I was young, drank. She stopped drinking probably when I got to be a teenager, but she did drink. And so did several members of my family. I would say that probably about 80% of my family was alcoholic. At least what I would consider to be alcoholic. One is definitely alcoholic. She's been in AA for about 23 years. That's my oldest sister. A couple of years ago, the youngest boy in the family, died. I don't know exactly what the disease was that he died of, but it was loss of reflex, similar to that killed Onassis. My brother had a well-known disease. But he also had sugar, his not drinking didn't help his sugar. It started off that they started cutting off pieces of his body. He lost first the lower portion of one leg, then lost the upper portion of the same leg. And, shortly before he died, it was pretty positive that he was going to lose the other leg, but he just had to stop drinking it. You know. So then I think that was a major contributing factor to his death. I haven't drunk in probably maybe 10 years, maybe 15 or something like that. I don't drink. It changes my entire personality. I don't know who my friends are the next day. I get nasty. What else do you have?
Well, I have a question, but you sort of touched on it, I guess. I want to know what the political situation was like when you were growing up, like the attitudes.
Well, there was always a big fight around election time. When it came time to for national elections, my mother was a Democrat and my father was a Republican, which is real strange because he was a steel worker. And I think he swung over to voting Republican. I'm pretty positive it was during the Roosevelt administration because he thought he had been in for too many terms, you know, that he had been president too long, and that gave him too much political power. So there were always big fights. Sometimes they wouldn't talk for a week or so. They didn't talk too many politics around me. You know, well, they would talk politics around me, but I was never able to be into the conversation because I was always viewed as the baby of the family. So, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I'm still viewed as the baby. I go into my sister's tavern, and she says, "This is my baby sister." They don't take. It's just recently that they've even started, you know, including me in anything that would be an important conversation.
It's always been that way?
All the time. All the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm only a kid.
And that was the way, like, you know, that gap that you talked about. I mean, did you play with your brothers and sisters, or was it always like...
No, they were older than I was. Yeah. By the time I started, we figured 7 years between my sister Mary Eleanor and I, by the time I was at an age where I would be actively playing with a sister and brother, they were out, you know, doing teenage kind of things and didn't want to bother with it.
Was your family very religious?
Extremely. Well, sort of. My father was. My father, when he met my brother, was studying, or met my mother, was studying to be a brother. He had taken two vows. And as I understand it, they met in August and were married in October.
And he was still in the whatever?
He had left the brotherhood to get married. And my mother was sort of religious. She raised us Catholic, and she believed all of what we were supposed to do. She, for a long time, was not a practicing Catholic. But she made sure that all of us were. My father used to do this whole thing. He got permission from the priest that his children be allowed to attend whatever mass it was that he attended, either 11 or 12 o'clock mass. And it was clear what it was never stipulated that we had to go to mass with him, but we had to be there. And he used to sit in the front of the church, stand up, turn around, and look to see if all of us were there. That was one of his wonderful things. And also the thing about not eating meat on Friday. That was always a real big trip, because he would never say anything, and you would forget what day of the week it was, and you might cook yourself up something to eat, and just if you were getting ready to put it in your mouth, he'd say it was Friday. His quirk. But But he was an extremely religious man all of his life. So that has to do with religion and why we went to Catholic school. They did without a whole lot of things in order to send us to Catholic school. Because it cost money to go to school.
Even then?
Sure. It was half. The parish pays half your tuition and your books, and your family has to pay the rest.
And that's different than it was in Philadelphia. They've only started doing some of that now.
Yeah, they've always. They were poor parishes. They were real poor parishes. I went to, it was real strange because I went to Holy Angels for school, but we belonged to Our Lady of Loretto. And Holy Angels was an established church. It was a very, it's a very working class, I believe it probably still is. But Our Lady of Loretto was an offshoot of, there's one down on Niagara in Virginia, which is mostly a Spanish parish now.
Holy Cross?
Holy Cross. It was an offshoot of Holy Cross, and what it was, the building, the original building that the church was housed in was a wooden frame building that had one time been a Protestant church. Hmm. And the people of the parish donated over a period of years to a building fund, and the church that is now Our Lady of Loretto was built by the people of the parish, including all the windows, everything. Things came one at a time. Like one stained glass window went in at a time. There was one up there for that was paid for by the children of the parish. You know, these little banks they gave you that was only supposed to hold $5. But I broke mine open one time and I had about $37.
Whoa.
Left.
Yeah. I know in my family that being raised very much in the Catholic tradition that there was a great deal of that morality and sexuality. That I often wonder whether it came mostly from school or mostly from home.
Well, my oldest brother, when he was probably about 17 or 18 years old, got the first woman that he married pregnant. And my father made them get married, made him marry her. And I believe she miscarried, because she didn't have the child. So I think she probably must have miscarried the child. And shortly after that, the war began. And Jack went into the Marine Corps, and the marriage dissolved. But they were kids, you know. He was 17 or 18 years mm-hmm. old, and she was probably about 16 or 17. And it dissolved while he was still in the service. So that when he came home, they divorced, and then he remarried twice since then. But I sort of blame that on the fact that the only thing that was important was that that child wouldn't be born, have a name. And he was quite adamant about that, you know, with all of my brothers, that if you play, you pay, sort of thing. You have to take responsibility for that you do.
Was that more of like a pragmatic thing, or did, like with your sisters and all, I know my mother always came down very heavy on any activities we had. We really didn't play with boys when we were little. And then when you were allowed to, when you got older, it was under chaperone conditions.
No, my family never did that. I always played with boys. The thing that bothered them most was that the boys that I played with when I was 10 years old might not have been Catholic. At 10, they were worried about that. And the harping never did any good, you know, to talk about it, because, you know, you're not thinking, you're 10 years old, who cares who you play with? So then they sort of let that slide, they stopped pressuring about that. And one of my sisters, that I can think of, two of them married non-Catholic. The oldest sister married non-Catholic. They never had any children, so that wasn't any problem. But both of them had to sign the paper saying that they would raise their children Catholic. My one brother-in-law resisted that. Later, after their first child was born, he immediately had that baby christened Catholic. But then they had three after that. And he tried to resist that. But it seemed that when Dennis made his first communion, Linda, who was 2 years younger than him, said that I'm not going to be able to make my first communion because I've never been baptized. So he allowed the christenings after that, but they were older. You know, the kids were like a year before First Communion, before they were christened. Which is, you know, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it even when they're younger as to do it when they're older and let them go to have to do the suffering that it may not happen to them. It was a big thing to make your First Communion. I remember when I made my First Communion, I was the smallest in the class, the smallest girl in the class, so I got to crown the Virgin. Me.
You know, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was a real trip. It was a whole colorful event that was happening. You know, it was the first big thing that happened in your life, really. Just to make your first communion, because it was your first real public appearance. And then, of course, was confirmation. So, they weren't strict in that respect that we were ever chaperoned. But it was sort of that we knew what our responsibilities were. And we had to follow through with them. That's what happened.
Do you have, like, you know, I don't mean to backtrack, but I was wondering if there was good relationship between all your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, we're a close family. We're a pretty close family. Outside of the usual squabbles, you know, because they were all the same age. They were like a year apart. I have two sisters that are 11 months apart. So that they, you know, everybody was close. You had to be close. You know, you had to stick together. We were a big family. And we didn't have as much as a lot of... My father probably always made good money because he was a steel worker. But in a lot of cases, there was only three kids in a family, and we were a large family, so that we had to make do on the same amount of money, so there were things that we had to do without. So... And kids can be real cruel with one another about what I've got and what you haven't got. I remember this one woman, well, she's a woman now, a young girl that I used to play with, was always telling me about her mother's Corday lamps. She had these beautiful Corday lamps. And I hate Corday to this day because of, you know, it being pushed at me all the time what she had and what I didn't have. And she didn't really, you know, her mother had some more material things than my mother had, but they certainly weren't any better off. You know, they were renting the same way we were. And so those are the kind of things that we once in a while had to go through.
Yeah, we had big families.
We were all real close, though. We were always, when people got married, we were always in one another's wedding parties. So I've been sponsor in both christenings and in confirmations for several nieces and nephews. So that they always fall back on the family for those kind of things.
Yeah. That's strange, you know, to hear closeness because, like, there's such a difference in ages, like between me and my sisters and brothers, like we'll never be close. But, like, I'm the baby. There's like 13 or 14 years difference. And interesting. Yeah, I think that's great. I keep threatening my brothers and sisters. Yeah, if you don't stick together, I'm going to be
Well, we've really been, my one sister now is what, since my both parents are dead, you know, it was a real worry that we would sort of split up. You know, that we wouldn't have that closeness anymore. And my one sister, who is the second oldest of the girls in the family, has really worked hard at keeping everything together. You've probably heard Liz talk about my sister Margaret.
Yeah.
She really keeps things together.
We are now having a I've been, you know, around the West Side a lot, and what I'd like to know is, why is there such a bad, feeling toward the West Side? Why are people afraid to go there?
It was nothing to, it was a corner store on the corner of Normal in Connecticut that used to stay up until midnight. And people, they used to get a first edition of the Courier Express, so a lot of people used to go to that store and pick up the paper. So many people had been ready for bed. You know, a lot of the women were ready to go to bed, and they'd have their nightgown on, and they'd put a coat over it, sometimes a bathrobe, and walk to that store. Now, the lights haven't changed at all in that area, and you can see how dark it is, and nobody ever felt unsafe walking around there. So I think that kind of thing started with fear of the Italians. I never had any problems. There was never any, I mean, you could have a bunch of kids standing at a corner and you weren't afraid to walk through them. Where now, you know, I see a group of kids standing at a corner, I cross the street and go to the other side. You know, there was no, like you see people today, breaking bottles and breaking windows and tearing antennas off cars. We never did any of that. And there was certainly none of that on the West Side. So I think that it was just basic fear of, see, and what happened in the late 50s where there were a lot of gangland murders that were connected to the West Side, and I think that really scared people a lot. And there were fights. There were several gang fights when I was growing up. There were two rival areas. That was the West Side of Buffalo, calling the West Side at that time, which is now the Lower West Side, which is real strong. Strong Italian influence. Used to fight the Polish from Black Rock. I mean, they used to have battles. They used to go in cars and trucks to Riverside, and then Riverside would come down to Niagara Street. There were big battles all the time. So that's the only thing I can think of, is just that they thought the Italians were going to cut everybody's throat.
Because I was always, you know, raised and brought up like from Buffalo, and saying that the West Side is really bad. And I recently, you know, a couple years ago, I became friends with people who lived on the West Side, and they let me stay at their house, and I found no trouble, and I always wondered why people think so badly of the West Side. Because I'd walk around and nothing would ever happen to me. People would say hello, and I'd be friendly and say hello.
Well, now, the West Side has a lot of Spanish-speaking people in it. And I think people are afraid of that. And Black women have been into the West Side. So that it's not the same ethnic background as it used to be. All around through there, through the state belt, the Carolinas, you know, the Lower West Side, around Georgia and things like that. It's all Italian now, it's mostly Spanish. And I think it's just the myth that people have. about what these people are supposed to be. Where'd you get that Bethlehem pen?
The people that I know on the West Side. The father, I'd always be running out of pens and he'd bring home box loads of Bethlehem pens.
Because I keep bringing them home and Liz keeps losing them.
I've never seen one of them at your house that I know of.
They last forever.
Really?
Yeah.
They're good pens. When you were in high school, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do? Did you have, like, what do they call it?
A vocation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had decided that I wanted to be an art teacher. And I fought for an art major in the high school that I was in. And it won. And I wasn't an art major. I took a lot of art. I took as much to major in, but I also, it would have been diocesan. So I went through the college entrance program so that I could take it on a regents level, which ended up being beneficial to me because I got thrown out of school in the middle of close to the end of my senior year, and would not have been allowed to take exams if I had taken a diocesan exam, but because I was taking state exams for the past 3 years, I was allowed to take my exams in City Hall.
Why did you get through and out of school?
Because I was gay.
So you were out by that point?
Oh, yeah. I had been out for years. Everybody knew I was gay. People knew I was gay before I knew I was gay. Or at least before I knew what to call it.
So, how did that, Catholic school, I can imagine that they had very moralistic attitudes towards that.
Oh yeah, they hated me. But they couldn't do anything with me because my grades were high. I think one of the things that happened that more than my being gay was that when you went to take these scholarship tests, you used to get afternoons off to take them. And I used to bust right through a test. I would go through a 4-hour test. I'd probably do it in 2 hours. So I would have the afternoon off.
I'd never finish.
So I always had the afternoons off. And I went and took every test that was available. Well, it ended up that the principal of the high school, his niece, was in the same class I was, and she took the same test. And I won, and she was runner-up. And she thought that it was terrible that I would even take those tests when I was not going to even bother to apply myself to anything. Because I got a 4-year scholarship. I had won a 4-year scholarship to Deauville. And that would have been kind of good. I probably wouldn't have gotten into art education, but they had a good commercial art course there. I ended up going to college anyway. And I decided that I really hated it. I didn't know what I was doing there. I wasted 2 years of my life in college, so I quit. Because I didn't really want to. I realized that what was going to happen to me is that I would probably be a teacher, and I would probably end up someday losing my job because I was going to change my lifestyle. And then I figured I probably didn't want to be a professional anyway. And I've never been sorry that I've left.
So did you go to college right after high school?
Yeah, I went to Albany. And I hated that.
How did you pull that off financially?
The woman that I was going with, parents had a lot of money. And she paid for it. She also paid for me to live off campus. My parents paid some of it, they probably paid the initial cost. By then, you figure, this was by then, let's see, 19, when did I graduate from high school? 56, I think. And by then, everybody had grown up and he was still a steel worker. So he had a little bit more money to play with. Yeah, it wasn't quite as hard as it would have been. You know, had it been one of the other children. I was the only one that was allowed that third grade class. So. I thought further in school than anybody. Except I think my oldest brother managed to somehow get college credits. He probably has the equivalency of a BA now.
I hear, like, how did you handle relationship with men or boys? Like, I know when you're growing up, that, you know, when you're young, you have to, you know, in little groups and you all play. But as you got older, you saw, you know, you saw friends going out. And how did you handle that?
I went out. I did all the things that everybody else did. The only thing is that I did them. I had a couple of guys. In fact, there were, at one time I was dating three guys at the same time. One that I had been carrying on a steady relationship with for a while. One guy that I liked the way this one fella treated me. He was real nice. He was never fresh in any way. He was somebody to go places with. And then there was Carl, who I was in an active relationship with. And this guy, Johnny.
This guy, Johnny. Blank, blank. And Lincoln was around.
Go out with, and I used to pull up poor old Lincoln, you know, when I wanted to go meet his AC at Lincoln County. And one time, they all were at my house at the same time. You know, I didn't expect Carl home. I didn't know Johnny was going to surprise me by being in for the weekend. He did. And Lincoln and I had made arrangements to go somewhere. So all three of them were sitting there, and I came in the house, and I looked at the three of them, and I went right back out again. So those were the kind of things that I ended up with, because I didn't really give a shit about any of the three of them outside of, you know, I really enjoyed their company. Carl, I probably would have married. He knew I was gay. I was in a relationship with his cousin. And he didn't seem to care about it. But we didn't get married. He was killed in an automobile accident. And as a result of that accident, the woman that I was going with died as a result of that same accident. They were in it together. He was in the Air Force and was going... He was stationed in Waco, and he had come home and decided to drive his car back so he would have transportation when he was there. Josie was on her way out to the West Coast, so she decided to drive with him and then fly, you know, to help him with the driving and then fly I think San Diego. And they were in an accident. He was killed in the accident, and she died as a result of it a couple of months later. That was pretty traumatic, because of that, I was pregnant and nervous at that point. So I decided the thing to do was to have an abortion. So I had the abortion. I was never sorry about that either. The other thing bothered me is that Carl was so good looking. He was probably the prettiest man I've ever seen in my life. And it just bothers me once in a while as to what the kid would have looked like.
Yeah.
That was the only.
Is that hard to get? Or were there just, as there have always been, like, networks, how you find out who do you work with?
To do it. And I said yes, and if he didn't do it, I had the money to have it done elsewhere. So he said that he would rather do it than have me, you know, get myself butchered up somewhere until he did the abortion. That can't be made public from this tape either.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, it can be said that I had an abortion, but it can't be said who did it.
Okay.
Did
your family ever know about you being pregnant?
No. No, my family never knew about it. Nobody in my family still knows about it.
I'm going to stop just for a second. I feel like I want to backtrack a little
Go
bit.
Go ahead.
Oh, right. That's all right. To what you considered coming out or when you realized you were gay and what that meant at that point, which I think must be totally different from what it means for a lot of women.
Well, there was no name for it. The thing about it was just sort of something that I kind of slid into. I could never identify the feelings that I had, you know, in growing up, that were always seemed to be different than my peers. Like I can remember, it was a woman who had a child out of wedlock, and there was no way she could bring that child home to her family. But she wanted to keep it, so my mother kept the child. And the mother of the child, I had a terrible crush on. I was, 9, something like that, 8 or 9 years old. And I can remember even further back than that of being jealous of her brother, because he was able to be close to his wife and in a way that I wasn't. So I didn't know what to do about those feelings. I can remember writing, you know, my name plus, you know, this other person's name. Hmm. And I was a kid. I was in primary grades in school. And then I didn't have any name for it. It was just a feeling that I had that I used to respond to seeing movies, you know, seeing romantic scenes in movies. I never put myself in the place of the woman. I always put myself in the place of the man in the movie that was able to have all these romantic feelings about this person, this other woman. So that I, you know, people have asked me if whether or not I thought I was born gay. I don't know. You know, I just know I had these feelings for a long time. I didn't have any name for them. And the first physical contact I had with another woman was when I was 13. Another woman was 15. And we remained in that until that automobile accident, which happened when I was 17 or 18. I didn't have any trouble with coming out. I never had any guilty feelings about it because, first of all, it was never talked about. I mean, it was wrong to sleep with men, but nobody ever mentioned anything about women.
I know that.
That's how he's brought up.
That was in my life too. Mm-hmm.
Nobody said anything about women. But I remember first starting that relationship, and when I went to confession, I just happened to bring it up. You know, I brought it up. Oh my God, the priest went into a tirade.
Mm.
So, that started to introduce my first schism with the church. You know, I just didn't like the idea of being told I was never going to be able to do something again that, to me, I found so enjoyable. But then I thought, well, after I got a little bit older, a couple years older, I thought that I'd probably better find out if whether or not this was what I was going to be doing with my life, or if this was only a part of it, and that, you know, the kids that I hung around with by then were sleeping with men, sleeping with their boyfriends. So I decided that I would sleep with Carl. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for all the bells. bells and the fire engines and the sirens, and they just never, none of them ever rang or whistled or anything. But we continued to sleep together. But I also continued sleeping with his cousin with all the bells and sirens and all of that. So I related pretty much the way everybody else did with things. And I didn't have any trouble with it. I mean, I slept with him and I slept with her. And it was clear that she was more important and he knew it. Yeah, it made it real clear.
And so, like, people in high school sort of, like, they knew that you were different.
I knew I was gay. My close friends all knew I was gay. And it's real surprising that after I got out of school and had started moving around a little bit, when I started going to lesbian bars, how many of the people that weren't in that particular clique that I hung around with, which were probably the faster people in the school, people that were doing more things, are lesbians now. It's really scary, really funny. I have to laugh about it.
Like, go about process of coming out, like what kind of things were going through before you actually decided that you were gay? Maybe it was right.
I don't know. I never decided I was gay. I was just gay, and I didn't have any qualms about that. Might have been a period of coming out that I missed. You know, the self-realization, because I think I always had it. I just didn't have any name for it. And that's why when I did start having a relationship, that it was easier for me to have it, because I'd already had the feelings for it. And I didn't analyze them. I just went into it. My coming out and was probably much later than that, right up into the 50s when I started moving around a little bit more. And I started going out, doing more social things. No, you should probably do that.